Psalm 139, we want again to look at verses 17 and 18, and in particular those words, "How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God." Just one of the many precious things of God that we read about in Scripture. This morning, we considered the thoughts of God and His condescension, noting that the God who is spoken of here in verse 17 is the mighty God. And here we have the mighty God of heaven thinking upon us. We are in His thoughts. We looked at the wonder of His thoughts, that indeed the one who created heaven and earth thought upon us, the one who made the stars and set them in the firmament of heaven thought upon us, the one who said that the nations were nothing and counted before Him as less than nothing, yet He thought upon us. We considered then the wonder of this. We noted also the wealth of His thoughts, because there were so many that David said he could not count them. If he could, he could not come to a total. He said they were like the sand. That is, every grain of sand representing a thought, a divine thought, a thought that the Lord has toward us. That indicates that the Lord thinks about us all the time. We are always in the thoughts of our Father. How precious also are. So He's thinking about us now. We are in His thoughts at this very moment in time. So we have the wonder of His thoughts, the wealth of His thoughts. There's so many of them. Then we considered the work and His thoughts. Because Psalm 40 in verse 5 speaks about the Lord's wonderful works, and there's linked to His thoughts of us. His work, the work of the cross. When we consider the work of the cross, God was thinking about us. God had us in His thoughts whenever He drew the plan of salvation. He had us in mind. What a humbling thing that is. What a humbling fact that is. When God drew the plan of salvation involving His Son and the work of the Holy Spirit, He had you and I, believer, in mind. He had us in His thoughts. There was the cross in His thoughts. There was the choice and His thoughts. Paul said in Ephesians 1 verse 4, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That indicates that if He chose us before the foundation of the world, we were in His thoughts before the foundation of the world. And the Lord Jesus in John 17 and verse 24 spoke there about the Father loving Him before the foundation of the world. That means when the Father loved the Son before the foundation of the world, the Lord, the Heavenly Father, set His love on us because He chose us. We were in His thoughts before the foundation of the world. And Matthew 25 and verse 34 spoke about the kingdom. He gave us a kingdom before the foundation of the world. So you see how we were in the Lord's thoughts before the foundation of the world. He knew us. He knew all about us, and he chose us to be his own before the foundation of the world. What a wonder and what a marvel this is. That brings us now, this evening, as we take our study a little further. We considered this morning the thoughts of God and his condescension. Tonight I want to look at the thoughts of God. They are constant. The thoughts of God are constant. Have we ever told someone whom we have learned that they're perhaps going through surgery later on in the week, and we have said to them, well, we'll remember you in prayer and we'll be thinking about you. We've said that. Or we have told someone who is going away and leaving us, we'll say, I'll never forget you. You'll always be in my thoughts. And yet, we must confess that we don't always think about them. We say we do. You'll be in my thoughts. But we don't always think about them. We say we'll not forget them, yet we do. They cannot be in our thoughts 24/7. And indeed, human thoughts are fickle and fleeting. Likewise, how constant are our thoughts toward the Lord? How often do we think about the Lord? Have we not gone days without number, without thinking about the Father who loved us? The Savior who died for us. The Holy Spirit who comforts us. How often do we think about the Lord? How often do we think about the divine persons of the Blessed Trinity? Yet, while the Lord may not always be in our thoughts, listen, we are always in his. We are always in the Lord's thoughts in spite of our forgetfulness. The wayward, wandering, worldly Christian will not have many thoughts of the Lord, because his mind, his thoughts will be in other things. He may forget about the love that sought him, the blood that bought him, the grace that brought him to the fold, wondrous grace that brought him to the fold. How often does the worldly Christian think about what Christ has done, and how the Father loves him, and how the Holy Spirit strove with him to bring him to the Lord? That may be true of us betimes. We are forgetful. But in our forgetfulness, the Lord never forgets us. The Lord's thoughts of us are constant in spite of our forgetfulness. And you know something? The Lord is grieved when we forget him. It is very clear from the teaching of Scripture that the Lord is grieved. When our mind is filled with other things, when our thoughts are upon other things, and we forget the Lord, we know he is grieved by the number of times he makes mention in his word, the number of times he makes mention in the word about his people forgetting him. They have perverted their ways. They have forgotten the Lord their God. Jeremiah 3:21. Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people, mark that, yet my people have forgotten me days without number. And again, he lays the same charge at the feet of his people, Jeremiah 13:25. Thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. And again, Jeremiah 18:15. My people hath forgotten me. They have burned incense to vanity. Do you notice in those references there that when the Lord is spoken about his people forgetting him, he mentions other matters. My people, or thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. You see, their heart had gone astray. Their heart had gone towards other things. Their thoughts were upon other things. Falsehood. So when their heart had gone after other matters, they had forgotten God. And again, my people have forgotten me. They have burned incense to vanity. See, their heart had gone astray, had gone after other gods and other things, which meant they had forgotten their God. They had forgotten the Lord. And we see how the people of God forget the Lord when their hearts and minds have been distracted and gone after other things. But the Lord wanted those who had forgotten him to know something. Isaiah 49. This is what the Lord wanted his people to know, those who had forgotten him. In Isaiah 49 and verse 15, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. It's something that would almost melt the heart. Ought to melt the heart. That in spite of our forgetfulness, the Lord says, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. So the Lord has us in his thoughts, even when he is not in our thoughts. Even when we forget him, praise his wonderful name, he has not forgotten us. Constant and continual are the thoughts of God and the thoughts that he has toward his people. Even when they forget him, he still remembers us. And I'll tell you something else. Those thoughts that the Lord has for us, when we forget him, his thoughts are longing and loving thoughts. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the thoughts that I have, that I think toward you, saith the Lord. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. They're not thoughts of evil. They're not thoughts of retribution. They're not thoughts of punishment. They're thoughts of peace. When God's people forget him, the Lord says, I still have you in my thoughts. If you look there at the opening verses of the psalm, for nothing we do or say can stop the Lord thinking about us. Consider that. Nothing that we can do, nothing that we can say can stop the Lord thinking about us, can erase us from the thoughts of God. Because he tells us in the opening verses of this psalm, O Lord, thou search me and know me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. See? In our down sitting, in our uprising, in our going forth, in our coming back, he's acquainted with all our ways. And there is not a word in our tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. We're always in his thoughts. Wherever we go, we're always in his thoughts. And as I've said, there's nothing that we may do will erase us from the thoughts of the mighty God. What a blessed truth. So he thinks upon us, and has us in his thoughts in spite of our forgetfulness and in spite of our folly. The Lord still has those precious, loving, caring thoughts toward us, even in our folly. In the times regarding our folly, in the times of our foolish accusations. Has David not put into words how we have felt at times? Words like, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Psalm 13, verse 1. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought, maybe not spoken it aloud, but it has gone through your mind, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? When it seems at times the Lord has left us. Job felt that way. And you can understand Job. When he had lost everything he had, Job said, oh, that I knew where I might find him. I would order my case before him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Job felt the Lord had left him. David felt that way. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? When others prosper and make progress, we labor and toil, but all seems to come to naught, and the cry goes up, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Again, in Psalm 77, verse 9, David said, "Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has God forgotten me? And in forgetting me, has he forgotten to be gracious?" Psalm 31, verse 12. Here's David in his loneliness. And David says, "I am forgotten, like a dead man out of mind. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind." David was in a frame of mind which led him to utter such words. In his loneliness, he felt the Lord had forgotten him. "I'm forgotten as a dead man out of mind." Psalm 42, verse 9, he says, "I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me?" There you have the accusations that David brought before the Lord. But in spite of what David said, and what he believed in his times of loneliness, in spite of what he said, God had not forgotten him. And so it is with us, dear Christian. No matter how we feel at times, and why we may be tempted to utter the same words that David uttered, remember this: God has not forgotten us. How do we know? Well, David here says in the psalm, "How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee." David couldn't count all the thoughts that God had, which indicates that the Lord was thinking about David all the time. And in spite of his foolish accusations, David was still in the thoughts of God. So let us take courage, dear Christian. When you are tempted to think that God has forgotten you, he's still thinking of you. He still has you in his thoughts. Even in your times of foolish thinking, no, God has not forgotten. He hasn't forgotten us in times of foolish accusations, and he hasn't forgotten us in the times of our foolish actions. We are guilty of being involved in foolish actions at times. Actions which are contrary to the will and the mind and the word of our Heavenly Father. Such foolish action is aptly illustrated for us in the behavior of the prodigal son. We read about him in Luke 15. We know the story well. A father had two sons. One son decided he would be better off if he was able to gather up all his substance and leave home. He left home, and we're told that he went into the far country. The far country. He couldn't get far enough away from home. But we know what happened. He went into the far country where he wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, do we believe that when that son left home, do we believe the father stopped thinking about him? Do we believe the father put the son out of his mind altogether? Never thought about him again? No, we don't believe that. We believe rather the son was always in the mind and upon the heart and in the thoughts of that father. How do I know? Well, we know that when the son came to an end of himself, he thought about home and about his father's house and the servants in his father's house, and they had meat enough and to spare. And there he was, about to feed himself and the swine that are the husk that the swine that eat. And he's making his way home. And this is what we read. His father saw him, yet a great way off. His father had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. In other words, whenever this son engaged in a foolish action, gathering up all that belonged to him and going away into a far country, the moment he left the house, the father had him in his thoughts. And that son never left the father's thoughts and never left the father's heart. And I believe that every day the father awoke and went out, he looked toward the horizon, waiting to see if his son was coming home. Because he was always thinking about him. And then one day, he saw him a great way off. And he ran. He ran and he ran to meet him. He fell upon his neck, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son who had always been upon his heart, the son who had always been in his thoughts, had come home. That father speaks to us of our heavenly father. And when we play the part of the prodigal son, does the Lord stop thinking about us? Not at all. Sure, we're always in his thoughts, always. Even when we bring before him our foolish accusations. And when we behave in foolish action, he still thinks about us. He still has us in his thoughts. And that's why David was able to say, and we are able to say, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, the mighty God, the one who inhabits eternity, has us in his thoughts at all times. He has us in his thoughts in spite of our forgetfulness, in spite of our folly. Yes, and in spite of our feelings. How often have we lamented our feelings? The number of times we've failed the Lord and let him down. Even Paul lamented when he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But even when we fail him, we're still in his thoughts. Perfect example is Peter. Peter denied his Lord when the cock crew the third time. We're told the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. He didn't say a word. The look was enough. And when the Savior turned and looked upon Peter, we're told Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the word there for wept is a word that means he walked through the streets and people could hear him crying. And he wept as he walked. Did the Lord forget about him? Did the Lord then put Peter out of his thoughts? Peter was still very much in his thoughts, very much in his thoughts, and in his prayers. For after the Lord rose from the dead, the angel delivered a message to the women who were gathered there at the empty sepulchre. This was the message. Go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter. See how the message singled out Peter? Go tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him as he said unto you. He remembered Peter. Sure, Peter was one of the disciples. But the message singled out Peter. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Why? Why was the Peter singled out? Because Peter was continually in the thoughts of the Lord. Even though he had done terrible things, denied the Lord with oaths and curses and said, I know not the man. Yet, Peter was still in the Lord's thoughts. Does this not tell us that even in our times of failure, and it grieves us that we have failed the Lord, we wonder what the Lord thinks of us? Well, I'll tell you what he thinks of us. He thinks of us with precious thoughts. Sometimes we may go away from him, but we'll never go away from his thoughts. We'll always be there. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Now we come in the last place. The thoughts of God and his condescension. The thoughts of God are constant. Constant. Whatever happens in our lives, whatever we do, whatever we see, whatever our behavior is, God's thoughts toward us are constant. He never stops thinking about us. Now we come to the thoughts of God are comforting. Are they not? Is it not a comfort to know that someone is thinking of us? And someone is praying for us? We mentioned Peter there. The Lord was not only thinking about Peter, but praying for Peter. Isn't that what the Lord said? The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. And the Lord was still thinking about Peter and praying for Peter, even though he had failed the Lord. And he prays for us and he thinks about us in our failures. And that's a comfort. His thoughts comfort us when we engage in our times of service. The Lord's thinking about us when we serve him. We're in his thoughts as we serve him. 1 Timothy 1 verse 12. To serve the Lord is a great honor, as Paul said, and I thank God, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. It's a great honor to serve the Lord. It's a great honor to be engaged in his service. But there can be, in the Lord's service, disappointments. We can be faced with discouragements. We can be faced with difficulties as we serve the Lord our God. But just to know that our God is with us, and our God is praying for us, and our God is thinking of us, is a great source of comfort. As we read in Mark 16, verse 20, and they went forth, that is his apostles, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, with them. Now, if he's working with them, it means he has them in his thoughts. And he's not unmindful of our service for him. For we read in Hebrews 6, and there in verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget. See? The only thing that God has forgotten is our sin. But when it comes to our service, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. The Lord has not forgotten our work, our service, our labor of love. And how soothing and how precious to be reminded that our Heavenly Father has thoughts of us as we serve him and we face all the difficulties of service. We're still in his thoughts. That our Heavenly Father has thoughts of us. Our great high priest in heaven has thoughts of us. The Holy Spirit on earth has thoughts of us. That each divine person of the glorious Godhead has us in remembrance. Praise the Lord. Has us in remembrance, whispering to us, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. So let us, with the dark clouds of despondency hovering o'er us at times, let us think of our place in the thoughts of God. For our Father's thoughts of us are never more tender, never more compassionate, never more faithful than at a season of mental gloom and spiritual despondency. Psalm 40, verse 17. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. I am poor and needy, but the Lord thinketh upon me. And there'll be those times when you and I will be poor and needy, and nobody else will know. But we will be in the thoughts of the Lord. Because the Lord knows our down sitting and our uprising, knows our thoughts afar off. How precious then are thy thoughts unto me, O God. So the Lord has us in his thoughts in our times of service. The Lord has us in his thoughts in our times of sorrow. If ever anyone would be thinking about us in our times of sorrow, it is a great comfort. But we can be assured of this: we will always be in the thoughts of the Lord in our times of sorrow. After all, he is a man of sorrows and one who is acquainted with grief. Remember when Lazarus died? And the Lord went to the sepulchre, and Martha went to meet the Lord, but Mary stayed at home in the house. She was heartbroken. And Martha had an interview with the Lord. And then he gave a message to Martha to give to Mary. And Mary went back to the house. And what did she say to Mary? She said, "Mary, the Master is come and he calleth for thee." See? Mary may not have been there when Martha was there, but the Lord still had her in his thoughts. "Mary, the Master has come, and he calleth for thee." Even in her sorrow, the Lord had Mary in his thoughts. In our times of sorrow, the Lord will always have us in his thoughts. Let shadows come. Let shadows go. Let life be bright or filled with woe. I am content, for this I know: thou thinkest, Lord, thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. What need I fear when thou art near? Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Praise the Lord. He houses in our thoughts, or his thoughts, in our times of service, in our times of sorrow, and in our times of sickness. We're in his thoughts. Remember again, referring to Martha and Mary, remember what Martha and Mary said to the Lord? They said, "He whom thou lovest is sick." So if the Lord loved Lazarus in his sickness, he was obviously in the Lord's thoughts and upon the Lord's heart. In our times of sickness, the Lord has us there in his thoughts. And if we're in his thoughts, we're on his mind. If we're on his mind, we're in his heart. How precious. How precious are thy thoughts unto me. The Lord thinks. O God, How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. When I awake, I am still in the thoughts of the Lord. There'll never be a day, believer, that we shall arise from our slumbers when we're not in the thoughts of God. Amid the trials that which I meet, amid the thorns that pierce my feet, one thought remains supremely sweet. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. The cares of life come thronging fast upon my soul, their shadows cast. Their gloom reminds my heart at last. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. What need I fear since thou art near? Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Praise the Lord. God's precious thoughts of us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most loving Father, most gracious God, we're glad that we are in thy thoughts even now. We're glad, Lord, that we shall never be out of thy thoughts. There's nothing we can do that, Lord, will remove us from thy thoughts. We shall always be there. O Lord, may we take comfort and courage, encouragement from thy word. We thank thee, Lord, for condescending to think about us. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art constantly thinking of us and how thy thoughts comfort us just to know that thou art thinking about us. Praise thy name. O Lord, as we always pray, write thy word upon our hearts. It needs to be written there. It will not soon forget. O Lord, I pray that as we go home tonight, and even in the night season, we shall think upon the Lord as he's thinking upon us. What need I fear? Since thou art near, thou thinkest, Lord, of me. Be with us, Lord, throughout this week. Keep thy good hand upon us, I pray. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.